This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 661. I am Brian Kilby. With me this week, we have on mute Donald Ferguson. Still on mute.
Hey,
Not you. You're John. We have John DeLuna as well.
Oh, I'm sad. Who else is on mute?
Don. Don can't get off mute, it looks like.
That's not his shtick. That's my shtick.
I know, right?
No, I can't. It's just, Skype has actually responded to my mouse commands this week so far. So,
what took you so long? Don should be on mute way more, but he's not. I'm the mute guy. Ah, my world is rocked.
We also have Chris.
I'm not on mute.
Oh, he's not. Matt.
I should be on mute.
And Diecast.
They love when I'm on mute.
Who should be muted? Yeah.
Rob.
So was that mute or neutered? I couldn't make out which one that was.
Oh God. Okay. And Jason, of course, isn't here either. It's a rare treat now when Jason's here. Yeah.
Jason's come down with that with an abstract case of life.
Yeah. The work sees. Yes, the work sees.
An abstract case of life.
It's okay.
Are you sure that's the word you meant to use?
It's okay.
It works. It's colorful. It's bright. It's cheery.
So let's see, what do we got going on here? There's news. Well,
it's almost Toy Fair.
It's almost Toy Fair. We got the biggest news, second biggest news, third biggest, depending on how you want to look at it, of Don's life today. But I have not spoken to him about it. We're going to hold until we get to it. But
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Thank God. So, I didn't either. Jason mentioned it in our internal email, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that. I should have put that in our album art for this week, but no, I didn't. Yeah, wasn't thinking. But because we have so much Earthrise stuff to talk about this week, so much. Actually, we'll see Earthrise stuff at Toy Fair, which is on February 22nd. We'll have our live stream starting at 12 Eastern time, running till hopefully 4 or 5 Eastern time that day. We'll see how it goes. I think last year we ended like at 3.
Yeah, we ended early last year.
Yeah, it's our biggest event all year. We have a lot of fun with it. It's a blast. We basically build our year around it. We're going to have a lot of people on. And hopefully in the last hour or so, we'll have some live calls. We'll see how that goes. Chris and Matt are looking forward to it. Yep.
Well, as much as the year in review show, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe more, maybe less. Patreon, you can join at patreon.com/TFRadio. We hit our first goal, which means I have to create. Actually, I think I already have created it, but I have to set it to be live. The Discord server for the podcast, which means we'll be in and out of it. Some of us more in, some of us more out, but we'll have that. It'll be public, but there will also be panels or channels for patrons. So by next week, we will have that live. We'll tell you more then. We have some more things out there you can unlock, other goals, maybe some neat stuff coming that way here in a couple weeks. Don't know. We'll talk about it. Let's see. Here. I'm trying to think, what else do we need to cover besides like what we got? Because dear God, that's going to be most of the show today.
Sorry,
God, there's not a lot of news.
I'm going to go. Can I go
we
first?
We kept it light.
Yeah, can we kept it first? Can I go first? Do you mind? I'm not going to talk about my. I'm not going to talk about my.
Are you
going to
step on my toes?
I'm going to skip the Earthrise stuff that I have because I will say basically, I got a couple things. Actually, I got one thing. Yeah, but I got two of it because one of the targets, a local target, got stuff in, and they had two things, and one of those things was just a Siege Hound that someone had like swapped right there in the store and took Cliff Jumper with them. So I'm just screwed out of that. So I've been to like 4 targets today on lunch. I was at 5 targets yesterday. I probably won't hit Target up until this weekend, but I will probably go to 7 or 8 because I have that many in this area. So I will go until I find something. But I got a Rare Studio Series toy. Rare for me because I don't buy Studio Series, but I saw Soundwave, so you know, I wanted it. I got it. It's okay. I started to transform it, then I stopped because I'm like, I don't care. I wanted it for the robot mode, and I'm just not going to go through the effort. It looks nice. It looks like the way I want it, so I've got it.
It can't be that much effort.
No, well, I mean, I'm lazy. I'm a lazy man. I'm so lazy.
We'll see. For me, Brian, I kind of canceled my pre-order because after I saw a review, he's not hard at all, Chris, but that's just it. He doesn't do anything really unique as part of the transformation. It looks good in robot mode, but with most studio series, you've got some kind of level, some interesting twist or an interesting way of getting there. He's about as much of a Wind Charger transformation as you can probably get. Not exactly like Wind Charger, but just the typical, you know, fold out the legs, fold down the arms, fold up the head, and you're kind of there. I mean, it's just nothing really unique. You get a good looking robot, but there's nothing unique about the transformation.
I feel like that happens a lot with like cars in studio series in particular, because like those movie designs are so complex, and to get from a normal looking car to one of those bags of knives or what have you,
yeah,
with the engineering budget that's available to studio series at the deluxe level, like, yeah, it kind of just has to be simple and cheaty transformation. There's not really a way for it to do anything super interesting or unique because it would go over budget.
So other stuff I got, I don't know why I got these. I don't know why I got any of this stuff because I basically, like, everybody knows, I've been working through trying to clean up, organize my collection and stuff very early in the stages of that. But one thing that I have to do is figure out what I'm going to collect. And I basically have created a checklist of things that I want. And one of the things that doesn't make the cut, for the most part, is going to be Cyberverse. And for whatever reason, I bought 5 Cyberverse figures this week. So I guess that's, I'm not doing a good job with that. So I got the one-step Grimlock. So is this the same toy that came out before? Because it looks, it's similar. Got Ramjet and Dead End. And like, this is one of those Cyberverse toys that we used to make fun of that only have like a half a transformation. Remember those?
The Scout class ones.
Yeah. So that kind of sucks.
Did you find a Repugnus?
I got a Repugnus. Actually, I guess
worth getting.
Yeah, I guess those. Yeah. So it's like, if I have a sentimental attachment to the character or toy, I'll justify it. And those aren't the one step. These are the one steps. Those are, what class is it again? Scouts. So, but yeah, these are the one steps. So I got Repugnus. I like it. I really do. It's for a one step. These are pretty darn nice. It's got the look. It's got a little action gimmick here with the claw or the pincers. So that's pretty cool. And also got Bludgeon.
And he looks so happy in bug mode, too.
It does. It does. And Bludgeon. I love how Bludgeon looks. I love how both of them look. I could totally justify these. These are both great. Of course, the transformation's easy. The one-step changer. I really dig these. I really do dig these. I would buy more of those. And one semi-related item. So we're not going to talk about it because I didn't put it in the news and T-Formers didn't have an article on it, but there was some sort of leak or something today about the new G.I. Joe line over and above what we talked about before. And it looks like Jazzwares is making action figures, which is what I assumed. Some people thought that it might be like the role play stuff, but I figured that, you know, they make action figures, so why not? So I got the Havoc Fortnite figure because it looks like Firefly. And Firefly is pretty much my favorite G.I. Joe character, one of two or three. So I got it to go with the line when it comes out. And I got that Sergeant Slaughter a couple weeks ago to go with it. The interesting thing, though, is when you put them together, like to scale, Sarge is like a scale foot taller than Firefly. And G.I. Joe figures are all the same height. So it feels weird, but in reality, Sarge would be about a foot taller than Firefly. So it is actually kind of neat because Sarge towers over Firefly, or Havoc in this case. So I'm actually good with that.
Although I'm not sure his head should be like 2.5 times as big.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything. But it's a nice figure. It's a really nice figure. It has 40 points of articulation. So one thing it got me, I was sticking...
I'm sorry, how many?
It says 40 on the box. 40. 40. When I opened it, I tried to stick the gun in the hand. I'm like, it doesn't fit. Like, why doesn't the gun fit in the hand? The hand has the trigger. I'm like, why doesn't it fit? Then I realized, oh, there's a hinge in the hand where it can grab onto the gun. And then I'm like, this is the best toy ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
How much was that?
$20. $18.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sweet. I'm not going to buy any more of them, I don't think. But
for the G.I. Joes.
Yeah, dude, it's sweet. It's got the pivot on the ball of the foot, ankles. It's pretty rocking. It's a nice figure.
Wow.
Yeah. So I wish it was green so I could have a beachhead. But I'm very pleased with that. So it's worth getting. So I'm done. Chris, who wants to go before Chris? Who wants to go before Chris? Anybody else? Because Chris is going to take up the rest of the show.
Chris has to go last in the notes.
Yeah.
So luckily, I don't think anybody else got anything.
Okay.
I got something.
What? What'd you get?
All right. I got...
Because I'm going to ride mute and chug caffeine, so...
Because there's not much out there, Walmart had the Megatron, the 35th anniversary cel-shaded one.
Yeah.
On sale, and my Walmart restocked and got like maybe a handful of more primes.
Nice.
I picked up another set to keep them in the box because they're just so nice. And I don't think Hasbro's going to do cel shading again. For some reason I think these were very expensive and they're going to be a one off. I hope I'm wrong because I love the cel shaded stuff. Like, I would love them to do that Earthrise, Voyager, or Starscream in cel shaded. That would be amazing. But I don't know.
How much for the Dogcast?
The Megatron was like $17 on Walmart.com.
Oh, and then now.
The Optimus was regular price. But I picked that up actually in the store, not
online. Yeah, Walmart's website is sold out of the Optimus.
Yeah, and on Amazon at tfradio.net/Amazon, he's up to like $50 already.
Yeah, that's because it's only from resellers.
Yeah, my friend Jason, not the Jason from the show, sent me that, and I just completely ignored it. I'm like, I already have it. I didn't bother to check to see how much it was, though. I should have got it. Yeah, nice. $17 is a great price for that toy.
Yeah, and I really like that Megatron. Still really interested to see, probably at Toy Fair, what the Voyager Megatron for Earthrise is going to be like.
Yeah, I think if the Earthrise Megatron ends up not being to my interest, I might pick up that cel-shaded Megatron to have like a little bit better copy of that mold.
Yeah,
because my regular Siege Megatron's really early run, and it's got the loose neck panel, and the ankles don't quite work right. So it'd be nice to have one that's the way it's supposed to be, and also a little bit cleaner looking.
And then I haven't gotten any Taobao shipments yet. Hopefully the coronavirus gets under control over there, so I can start getting shipments again.
Has that kept you from getting stuff?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay. Chris.
Ah, good.
I'm literally, watching video, you can watch me chug this Monster Hydro and this Coke Energy real quick. So just, you know, I'll be taking a drink as Chris talks.
Yeah, I mean, if you go cumulatively here, like, you'll be hitting, like, all the drinking game points probably all at once for everything I'm about to say. So I actually made some notes I'll be referring to just so I don't forget anything or go too off track. So I got a bunch of Earthrise stuff. I had the Micromasters last week, and now I have everything except for Battlemaster Sound Barrier. So this is going to take a little bit. So I'm going to start with Cliffjumper. As soon as I put the backpack back on so it looks right. Cliffjumper is parts forming, but it's not that bad. In vehicle mode, the hands hold the roof panel on. It can be a little bit tricky to get that off of there since both hands are holding on at once and can't really...
Seriously?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, so, like, there's these two pegs on the back of the roof piece, and that pegs into the hands when it's in car mode.
Oh, wow. Okay. I just literally thought his hands were like, don't fly away.
I mean, basically. Yeah, it's like if you see those pictures on, Reddit or whatever of, dubious oversized cargo on small cars where people do have their hands out on the roof and are holding, giant pieces of plywood down. It's kind of like that, or couches, mattresses, what have you. Cliffjumper is pretty small. Unfortunately, though, it is still noticeably bigger than an actual Legends toy. I've got Sea Spray here for reference, and for some people, this is going to be a problem because Cliffjumper does look bigger than it should compared to the existing Autobot mini vehicle characters. I'll probably live with it. I probably can live with it. But there's a lot of engineering packed into this little toy. The legs especially, there is a whole hinge joint here that flips the legs around to the other side for car mode. The feet unfold and kind of flip around with the wheels flipping out. Like, it is deluxe level engineering in something just slightly bigger than a Legends toy. So looking at it in terms of the size, for $20, yeah, it'd probably be a hard sell, but it's not like you're literally buying a Legends toy for a $20 price point. It's more complicated than like a Beast Wars basic or like a movie era Scout toy. It could be a better value for the money probably, but it's still doing better than what it seems like just looking at the box.
Is it as nice as Breaker though, or Wheelie? Breacher, pardon me.
Breacher was the one they recolored into Brawl, right? For Toys R Us.
Yeah.
So this is really nice. I like Cliffjumper more.
Oh wow, that's a great toy.
I guess Titans Return Wheelie was also pretty nice, but like again, Cliffjumper is very much more complex, feels more substantial for the size, because there's more material packed into it. The first transformation for this, it took me some time to actually figure out where the different parts went, which I appreciate. It's not like it's a frustrating thing. It was just like a satisfying challenge. Which I did not expect for as small as Cliffjumper was. Like, I was very pleasantly surprised the whole way through just how much above its weight it's punching. Now, I did encounter that, the first time it transformed, some of the paint scratched off the shoulders because the shoulder blocks are painted red. They're not cast in red. And that just kind of seems unavoidable. Hopefully, it has not progressed much past that with more transformations, so hopefully that's just something that happens the first time you move those parts, and afterward it'll just kind of stay as it is.
That's how they work battle damage into this line.
Well, wait till we get to the hoist, I guess. So I like the bazooka. Having that also become extra car parts is some added fun for the toy. It's a nice big bazooka, too. And I did some counting and some weighing here, and it's actually exactly the same number of parts, almost exactly the same number of parts and same plastic mass as a Battlemaster figure, minus the Battlemaster's gun barrel parts. So there's definitely potential for reuse of this mold to get something like a little posable humanoid shaped figure, and it should stay within the same budget. So
sweet.
A Bumblebee with an exosuit spike totally seems plausible.
Nice.
That's about all I had for Cliffjumper. The articulation is pretty good. The neck joint is a little bit more limited than it can turn. It's pretty stiff, but for up and down movement, it's very restricted. The car mode is solid once you get it all together too. It looks a little bit goofy next to Wheeljack's car mode because of the scale difference, but it's pretty good with Hoist and Optimus Prime. Those three kind of pair together pretty well. Yes, those three pair together well. I'm doing good with the English here. This is what happens when I go off script. Let's see. So next up, I've got Wheeljack.
Ooh.
So first thing is, yes, the wings are very small, but they just peg in. They're 5mm pegged in. So there can absolutely be aftermarket add-on wings or extension parts that could be designed for these. It'd be very easy for someone to customize out larger, more proportionate wings if that was something that was important to them. Also, okay, so I've got the missile launcher, the rocket launcher on the shoulder here. There's a bit of an unsolved mystery with this, which I'm not sure if this will show on the camera, but there's a port on the back of this piece, which it's 5mm, but there's also a little square slot that comes out the bottom. So, like, it's designed to be keyed, but there's nothing that plugs into that.
I can see that.
There's no, there is no corresponding peg or tab system on this toy that goes with that. So, like, either it's something that got cut from the design along the way before, like when it was too late to change this accessory, or this is like a pre-tool kind of thing for whatever this mold's going to be in its next life, and there's going to be another accessory piece. And that's not the only unsolved mystery. Actually, Barricade64 on Twitter points out to me a little bit before showtime, the peg that plugs this car roof shield onto Cliffjumper's back actually fits perfectly into a little slot on the back end of the bazooka for no identifiable reason. You can just have that plugged on there and it fits perfectly, and there's like, it doesn't, the piece that it plugs into can't fit inside the car or anything, so it's not like a storage thing. It just more weird ports and intercompatibility that seems to serve no actual purpose. Wheeljack's articulation, especially in the shoulders, is a little bit above average because of how the transformation has to work. The elbows, though, don't really go quite as far as I would like them to. So it's kind of like, you know, take with one hand, give with the other. The transformation is pretty simple overall, but inside the legs, there is little chunks of the car's windshield. These form the like very front tip of the canopy. And you have to move these out of the way at a very specific point during transformation. Otherwise, they will explode off of the leg.
So it's a masterpiece.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, actually, I had masterpiece exhaust for a little while, and this isn't entirely dissimilar.
Oh, the new stuff's way worse.
Yeah, I don't really feel the need to own new G1 masterpieces at all. I mean, they kind of went away from what I liked about Masterpiece anyway, which was kind of like, you know, reimagining, but also combining the best of various elements. But that's kind of getting off track here, and this is going to take long enough as it is.
We'll complain about that later.
Yes, we will. But no, the little windshield pieces thing is kind of annoying. I don't immediately see why they could not have had that like fold in underneath the actual rest of the windshield, because like there's just the chest here and it's basically hollow behind it. They could have probably engineered that so it would fit together and be a better end experience to have fewer panel lines probably too, because when you get in car mode this way, there is kind of like this T of panel gaps in the front, which doesn't look the best. Speaking of panel gaps, I did have some trouble at first getting the car body panels to close up. There were some pretty big gaps. It seems like the engineering tolerances are a lot more precise than what I'm especially used to. So, you know, little inaccuracies with how you have one or another part aligned to each other kind of adds up to big misalignments in the overall finished vehicle mode. So you have to be kind of a little bit more precise than you might be used to when you're transforming this to make sure everything gets into exactly a right spot.
So that,
oh, Kurt.
That sounds like, do you think there's a new designer there who's still learning the ropes, or do you think that's just a change in philosophy?
I mean, it might be a little bit of a change in process, or, you know, as Takara rotates people in and out, you will, of course, get slightly different takes on the engineering, and I think that might be possible because of what I'll talk about a little with Starscream in a few minutes. Diecast, did you have a question?
Yeah. What port were you saying serves no purpose on Wheeljack? Because I'm holding Wheeljack right now, and I'm not really...
Okay, so the little missile launcher accessory for the shoulder?
Yeah.
On the back of that, there's the opening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 5mm opening with a slot with on the slot. Bottom of it.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't see any purpose for it, so it's either a leftover of something that didn't make the final cut, or we'll find out about this more in the future.
Yeah. Yep.
So the car, it's no Lancia. Lancia is a really cool looking car. This, you know, does the best it can to kind of grab that sort of feel while not being legally actionable. But the sponsor tampos, the many, many sponsor tampos all came out looking good and clean. There's no like errors with the paint coverage on that. And when you do get everything all lined up correctly, you know, the body panels match together really well. It's really clean looking, and it's very solid in car mode too. So like overall, it's good. There's just some, you know, annoying parts of it.
Have you noticed any like political propaganda with this toy?
I didn't look that close. I'm pretty sure, you
once
know,
bitten, twice shy.
They're keeping a tighter lid on stuff like that. Yeah. And honestly, with that having happened in Power of the Primes, I was kind of surprised to see all the Cybertronian writing happen during Siege, because that just seemed like it was asking for trouble. But yeah, there's probably like an extra step of approval process now for all print work that goes onto a toy. Hoist. Where did I put Hoist? So Hoist is like a Transformer as a Rice Krispie, which is to say it looks a lot bigger than normal thing. But if you examine it closely, you find it's mostly just air. So, like, here's Hoist and here's Wheeljack. Hoist is much bigger, but it's also much more hollow on the inside. Let me see if I can open this up. Like, you can see here, the whole inside of the torso is empty. The front of the torso is another big empty shell. The inside of the thighs are all hollow. Inside of the arms are hollow. Back of the legs are hollow. You know, they've just kind of expanded everything as much as they can to get the volume up without adding any more plastic mass than they can absolutely avoid. The arms are weird. They've got an atypical shoulder construction, so the outward movement is its own separate swivel joint here, and then the forward rotation happens over here. And there's the big truck panels that just don't go anywhere. You can't change the angle of them or anything. They're just stuck exactly like this in whatever rotation orientation you have them.
So Prime Bricks is asking, how big is Hoist to Ironhide or Spinister?
Let's see. I got a packaged ratchet over here. We can probably do something with that. About comparable in height, I think. You can see there.
Oh, yeah.
It's about comparable. I actually think the Ironhide mold might be a little bit more substantial than what Hoist ended up being, but Hoist also has a big backpack unit with a lot of separate pieces too, so that's going to take away from what can be in the actual main body integral. Yeah, the arms look and feel kind of weird. And this is another place where we can talk a little bit about design change. So this is something that kind of goes with all of these toys. A lot of places where you would have screws fastening together parts, now you are seeing just rivets or pins holding it together. There's very few just basic screws for mechanical fastening on these toys, which is not going to make any customizers happy, for one thing.
No, that sounds bad.
Well, yeah, because then also if you've got like a loose joint or something, you've got a lot less option to work on that to tighten it back up. Yeah, buy a new one and, you know, swap out the old one.
Yeah, well, I'm just
saying. Or the exact same thing. Don't swap a hound for a cliff jumper. That's just the dickish thing.
I think we've all suffered from misfired rivets in our toys before.
Yes.
Thankfully, I have not encountered a misfired rivet in any of what I have so far. So, you know, that's good for me, at least. Let's see. So I predicted quite a while back when we were talking about color mismatch that the hood and roof parts were just giant chunks of clear plastic that were painted over in green. That was correct. I'm not sure how well it's going to show up on camera, but like you can probably see under the hood here, like it's all just clear plastic there, and it's the same thing for the windshield and roof part. They're just big solid pieces each.
How is the color match between the painted parts and the cast parts?
You can still tell, but I don't think it's as bad as the photos made it look. So like it's definitely not perfect, but the paint versus plastic thing is the biggest culprit of that. As I am just sitting here failing to get the hood to tab back down. I'll worry about that later. The vehicle mode does compact down a lot compared to this. Like, for what the vehicle mode size is, you wouldn't expect it to turn into this big of a robot. It's actually a shame that it's not sold in vehicle mode, because I can just imagine getting that and that first time unfolding it into a robot and it just, you know, expands dramatically. It would be a really magical moment. But as it is, it's pretty impressive how tight it squishes down to become the tow truck. Now, one problem I've run into, I can't get mine to sit level in truck mode, but I've seen other people have like the identical issue. So I don't think it's anything I'm doing wrong necessarily. It might be a production error or something like that, but like one or two wheels will always sit off compared to the other ones. And there doesn't seem to be anything to adjust to compensate for that. Maybe later runs that won't be a problem, or with Trailbreaker. But I've seen independent, I guess it'll be independent, but like just a random sampling of other people with this toy and it's doing the same thing. So it seems like it might be at least partly endemic. Sadly, Hoist cannot tow other cars out of the box, but it would certainly be possible to design an adapter to make it do that, because I am pretty sure almost all of the Autobot cars have one or more ports underneath. In the front half of the car body, because you know that's where the feet end up, and everything's designed now for like weaponizer boots to plug on and things like that. So you could make some kind of an adapter to fit between the tow hook and one of those cars, possibly using the MicroMaster base ramps as a medium, because what the tow thing is designed to do is connect to one of those ramp pieces. It's got the connectors on here. Try to get that. Yeah, that's totally not working. I probably should have prepared for that talking point more by having that unhinged. But it's designed to connect with the MicroMaster base ramp. It's not designed to peg onto another deluxe toy or anything like that. But there's peg holes underneath, or you could use those ramp connectors to make another little plate that has pegs on it so that you could attach a car to it. Like that's totally something that could probably be shapeways. If one of the, you know, non-F or one of the Chinese aftermarket accessory makers didn't want to take a project like that on. Unfortunately, I would have to say Hoist is the weakest of the deluxes, but even so,
it looks so great.
It's still good enough that I'm looking forward to Trailbreaker coming out using the same body and engineering. These arms especially really kill it for me, but like, you know, the vehicle mode irregularity and honestly the hollowness a little bit kind of kills it for me. Now, it's the weakest of the deluxes, but it's still a pretty high bar that we're holding so far. Now, Ironworks I left in alternate mode just because, like, I think that's more indicative of what it's about. Because to me, it seems like while the robot's okay, it feels like a secondary thing, where the weaponizers in Siege always seem to value the robot mode first, and then either alternately the weapons it could break down into or the vehicle mode. Like for Brunt, it was definitely robot vehicle then accessory parts, whereas Six Gun, I would say, was robot accessories vehicle. But this definitely seems to be robot second, base mode first. And then it can also plug on as accessories if you want to. The transformation process was interesting because, like, unlike the weaponizers where there is a distinct thing that it's going to turn into, you've got a lot more abstract parts with one of these. And while the instructions only officially designate one alternate mode, which is what I've got in right now, obviously you can rearrange these parts and get different kind of configurations, pretty much limited just by your imagination and how many copies of a toy you're willing to own. As we get more of these modulators and, you know, people are amassing bigger collections of them, like, there's definitely going to be some pretty cool large structures that get formed out of these things. Each one is going to probably be a really interesting building block to a big base environment. And for as much improvement as there was in the weaponizers between COG and Six Gun, I'm really excited to see what the second modulator is going to look like, which hopefully we will get at Toy Fair a week from Saturday. Okay, so moving on to the Voyagers. I've got Starscream here, and I've left Starscream in vehicle mode because I wanted to show just like how big this jet mode is in hand.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really impressive. It looks really nice. It's got a great silhouette too. Like it's the best of what the classics toy was in the vehicle mode, where, you know, really solid jet mode. Of course, you've got the other side where it's all the robot pieces hiding, but it's, you know, even the classic toy was not super bad about having the undercarriage stuff. Like, it still looked like it could be jet parts. It wasn't super obvious that it was a robot's body slung under there. Not like, say, Universe Silverbolt, for instance.
Or any Silverbolt.
Yeah, but that Universe one was especially bad. I mean, come on. Transforming it to get into jet mode is an experience a lot like Wheeljack, which is what I was alluding to before. It's the same kind of thing where you've got to have some parts really precisely lined up to get everything to lock together. In this case, you have to have Starscream's legs in a really exacting position about three steps in advance, or you're not going to be able to get the back end of the jet to plug in correctly to the rest of the body. I actually ended up stressing the slots. So the back end of the jet tabs into the rest of the body, and I stressed the slots that it holds into because I did not have it aligned right, and I couldn't get the gap in the seams to close up. So I had to actually back up several steps and do the legs over like three or four times before I actually got it right. I think now, knowing what I'm looking for, I could get it on the first try every time. But like that initial attempt, it was really difficult, and it's not something the instructions could really depict adequately because, you know, it's slight variances in angle. And since it's all, the instructions are all off CAD models, of course, it's perfectly angled in their version. The arms also were kind of tricky to get where they're going. They fold up and fit inside the body cavity. Now, that's less a matter of having stuff lined up perfectly, and it's more just a matter of there's a particular and unexpected way that all the parts have to come together to fit that space. But that's something that absolutely can be just figured out looking at how all the things work. For a little bit, I was having trouble collapsing the arms and closing the torso piece up to close the jet. I was kind of having flashbacks to Nitro Zeus when I was first messing with that, where I spent 45 minutes trying to transform that toy, only to realize, oh, this one little piece is 180 degrees reversed from where it should be. It'd be nice if the instructions could have depicted that, but no, this is just, like I said, it's an unexpected way that the arms collapse together to fit in the body cavity, but once you see how it works, it makes perfect sense, and you'll remember from that point on, and it's not so much a matter of, like, this looks like I'm doing this exactly right, why isn't it working? No, you can tell that something's gone wrong part of the way, but unlike the legs, you can kind of see as you're at that point what you need to change. But that and Wheeljack having those like really precise tolerances, it does make me wonder if there is somebody else taking lead on the Takatomi side with the engineering of these transformations for Earthrise, because it is a really different experience than what we've had for the last few years. Let's see. I do like the robot mode, but I have some small complaints. The pelvis is a single hinged panel that has to move fully out of the way for the legs to swing forward. Also in jet mode, that is where the flight stand port is on the back side of that. So if you want to have this on a stand, it fits really well, but you have to have this panel flip down. So that does kind of spoil the silhouette a little bit. But thankfully it's a really snug connection to like a Tamashii Stage's 3mm peg. So putting this on a flight stand shouldn't be any problem. And it looks really good set up that way. But in robot mode, having that panel flipped up to have just one of the legs forward a little bit is kind of an ugly result. And I really wish it had been done differently. There's also unavoidable gaps in the chest. I don't know if the video quality is going to be good enough, but can you see right there? There's that little space.
I've seen those in preview pictures, and I was hoping that was just a mistransformation.
Unfortunately not. It's not possible for that gap to be closed. The pieces are not designed to fit together any tighter than that. So that disappointed me, not as much as the pelvis thing, because it's a little bit more of a subtle issue. But yeah, for wanting this to be like the perfect classic Starscream, it's not. But it's still really good, those little nitpicks aside. A wrist swivel might be nice in it, but the articulation is overall quite good. If you like the old Jet Engine style boot heels, those aren't represented here, so you might be disappointed with that. I was kind of disappointed that it didn't have those, because I really like it in the classics version. And that's also accurate to how it looked in the cartoon, but it's got like the squared off jet nozzles here, and then this splits out into a normal like separate toe and heel arrangement, which makes the stance more stable. It just looks less accurate and kind of loses something of the, I think it's an iconic part of the F-15 Transformer body design, but that might just be me. But like overall, I think they really nailed the look pretty well, mixing between what the classics toy looked like and the media interpretations of Starscream. It is not the perfect classic Starscream, sadly, but it is really good, and I'm happy with my purchase at the Voyager price point for it. Let's see. Grapple. Grapple is a very distinct contrast to Starscream. It's blocky, it's simple, it's safe. It's not trying to do anything special except to be a blocky robot, and it succeeds at that perfectly well. Articulation is good. They even use some of their extra time for not engineering it to put extra details, like in the outward shoulder joint. There's shrouding detail there for the joint, so it doesn't just look like bare hinge. The crane arm can flip around all the way to the front. If you have this turned around the other way, you could almost have them like a scorpion tail crane thing. Just repaint this in purple and green as Scorponok then. Man, that'd be a great April Fool's joke. But yeah, the robot mode is really solid and good, but it also just like stays within the box really strongly. It's not trying to do anything that it does not have to. And the transformation is also super simple. On which note, there have been reports of breakage for these two pegs, which are what connects the crane base to the underside of the feet in truck mode. Now, when I got this out of the box, those pegs would not even go into those peg holes. Like, the fit was so snug, it felt dangerous to just even push them in for the first time. So I spent 15 minutes and filed the pegs down, and now they're a lot smoother and safer feeling. So it's probably worth preemptively making that small modification just to alleviate the chance of breakage and to make the toy feel a little bit more comfortable to handle.
I just think you should try and shove it in there.
Oh, it's too late now. I already filed them down. One thing I do like about this, though, it's got the flip around hands with 5mm ports on the backside. So, like, he's got the little cannon thing attached now, but you can just flip the hand around and he's got two hands then. And since it's a 5mm port, if you've got a wide array of accessories, like, you can just stick all kinds of things in here. It really got potential. You can give him a big Minotaur hammer. What else do I have? Okay, bad example. I don't really have a lot of stuff hanging around right now. You can plug a car roof into his hand. That's great, right? It's one of those things that if you've got some imagination and some spare parts, you can really kind of go to town with that option. And it's one of those really little things that kind of just I get a kick out of. Finally, I have Optimus Prime, which I really like this Optimus Prime.
I'm jealous.
I have found that the red is oddly kind of desaturated looking. Like, I think it's even more muted than Studio Series 38 Optimus, which I already thought was a little bit dull, color-wise, that is. So I'm not sure why that is. I typically associate Optimus Prime being more bright, saturated red. Maybe I'm just wrong. Now, in person, the hip joints do seem high like they do in photos because, you know, they got the pelvis jointed here so that there's not like a skirt panel or something. But really, the hip should be jointed from about here for it to look correctly proportioned when the legs are actually being moved. So I could have done with that being engineered a little bit differently. It's not terrible, though. He just looks a little bit leggy. I really do miss the yellow eyes, though. Like, as it is, it's hard to even tell the eyes are there. Now, the transformation on this is pretty novel. It still works within, like, a basic Optimus Prime framework where, you know, you bend the arms and they fold into the sides. But what really makes this interesting, let me see if I can pull this apart here real quick. Well, probably not real quick, but I can probably pull it apart. What really makes this interesting is that the entire front of the truck folds up into just where the chest is. So you just, like, take this out and open the panels. And you've got the whole front of the truck, basically, right there, contained within just the upper half of the robot's torso. It's not something I've seen done before to make an Optimus Prime. Certainly not a G1 Optimus Prime. And it feels really interesting when you're transforming it, going either direction to collapse or expand the front of the truck just into that little space like that. That's probably the most novel thing that this does, which, you know, for better or worse. But it's a little less panel-y than Studio Series 38 Optimus, and everything tabs together pretty well, and the truck is structurally pretty solid. I had a couple times where it was going to pitch a little bit to one side or the other where the tabs just weren't quite lining up and engaging. But, you know, running back a couple steps and realigning things, I eventually got it to where it would tab down, and now I'm not having any problems with it. So this could be considered a third instance of what we saw in Wheeljack and Starscream, where there's just a little bit more precise tolerances in how these transformations are engineered. The trailer is definitely a trailer. It's a box.
That looks about the size of G1 Optimus's trailer. Is it roughly the same size?
You know what? I've never owned a G1 Optimus with a trailer.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
I couldn't tell you. It's the stupidest thing. It's just one of those things I've never gotten around to. Like, when Toys R Us had the commemorative series reissues and Optimus and Ultra Magnus were both $40, like, I never got around to buying Ultra Magnus either, but I always figured, like, yeah, if I do this, I'm going to buy Ultra Magnus because that trailer, like, it feels like it does more with the toy. But in the end, I never got either one, and then when the Walmart reissue came around, of course, that didn't have a trailer. Yeah. And I wouldn't have paid the $85 or $90 it would have cost it coming with a trailer either. But yeah, I would definitely say, like, some Reaper labels and maybe some aftermarket accessory add-ons for the inside of the trailer would help this a lot, because it is kind of bland and bare bones in there. The repair drone, I think especially, could use some Reaper labels or maybe just some paint, since it all is just very shades of gray.
Yeah, it could definitely use some blue.
Yeah, or even just like a little bit of black for the what would be the canopy on the G1 toy. Just something to give it a little bit more contrast and definition to the different parts, because there's also a ton of sculpted detail on the inside of this. Just a paint wash even would bring some of that out, like a very, very thin white paint wash, not, you know, the heavy covered in grunge and oil kind of thing like we typically see with, you know, customizer paint washes. But like, yeah, if you know what you're doing, you could definitely tease more of the detail out of this and make it look a lot better, but as it is, it's pretty bland. Even though the trailer does very little on its own, there's so much like volume and plastic to this. It does still feel like this and the Optimus are a better leader value to me than, say, Astro Train. Where, I mean, even Astro Train might have had the same mass of plastic in the extra parts. But, you know, this is the trailer for the robot, and you can, if you add stuff to this, get a battle station thing going out of this. So it feels like it does more interacting with the main part of the toy. Also, a fun little thing, the Matrix, which I just dropped onto the desk, the Matrix, the backside of it, has a 5mm port. So you can totally do stupid things like putting blast effects into the Matrix.
Huh. That's pretty cool, actually.
Oh, and then, of course, there's Prime's rifle, which is... I actually like this interpretation of the rifle. It hinges in the middle for storage, but it's just... It's thick and chunky. It's not overly long. It looks just like a nice hand cannon, basically. It looks exactly like what Optimus Prime's rifle should for the reputation it's gotten in various fiction over the years. It's all cast in light gray, like the handle on this peg, and then I guess basically paint dipped into the gunmetal gray. One pleasant side effect of that is, it's not going to probably show up on the video, but the inside of the barrel is detailed, like a lot of these guns with deep barrel wells will tend to be, but it's gray on the inside, so you can actually see the sculpted detail in there better because it's light and it shows up better. So, like, I'm sure that's an unintended consequence of how this was decorated, but it's a very happy accident, I think. And it Optimus Prime holds the gun just fine with the articulated hands. Actually, like, you can have him hold it with the fingers open. All the tension is on the thumb and the back of the hand. So the hold of any accessories is perfectly secure. It's not like Combiner Wars Ultra Magnus with the articulated hands that couldn't hold anything. That couldn't hold anything well. The accessories it came with were kind of designed to work around that, but it was still pretty bad. This is a lot more like, if you think way back to 2010 to Generation Straxus, the way those articulated hands work, it's basically in the same spirit of that. And those are my favorite Transformer articulated hands I can remember. So yeah, this was a very expensive week worth of buying things. Have like 95% of the first wave of Earthrise now, and I am very happy with all of it.
I really like Ironworks. I think Ironworks is great. That's what I was able to find. I ended up buying two of them, and I don't regret it. Yeah.
Yeah, I probably won't buy an extra Ironworks for full price, but I do assume we will see some discounts on that through Amazon or whatever in the fullness of time, and I probably will get at least one more just to be able to expand out of base.
Actually, you know, speaking of that, tfradio.net/Amazon, you know, you can buy anything.
Buy your Earthrise stuff.
Buy your Earthrise stuff.
Most of it's all still on pre-order for March 31st, I think.
Yeah, but...
They do have the MicroMasters in stock, though.
Yeah, they have the MicroMasters. They have all sorts of stuff. Candy. You want to get some late Valentine's candy. I'm sure you can get it there. Don loves candy. tfradio.net/Cadbury. You can buy some Cadbury eggs. Send them to
Don.
Anyway,
I should have something interesting more to talk about next week, too, hopefully.
Yeah. Cadbury eggs. Clearance Easter. I mean, clearance Valentine's candy. Easter candy.
Yeah, it's a little early for clearance Easter.
Yeah. Should be, damn it. tfradio.net/Amazon. Wanted to get that plug in because we're skipping what's on T-Formers this week, and we got the news to talk about. Don, unmute. So, your prediction for 2020 was RC would be Masterpiece 50. RC is, in fact, MP51. You were close, so I'm giving you that one. So, let's see here. So, we have photos of RC. And
so, Don basically has gotten his Lifetime Achievement Award.
I think so. But, Don, so there's a lot of hubbub around that toy. Yes, I think it looks okay. What do you think about Masterpiece RC?
Well, I think Masterpiece RC does look good. I don't know how much of we're looking at is, you know, mistransformation because the chest does sit kind of low.
I don't care.
I'm not. I'm just pointing out some of the obvious things. The car mode is immaculate. I think the car mode, they really... For a non-typical car mode, you know, versus what we've gotten in the past, you know, I think they've really nailed the car mode. I think the robot mode looks great. The thing of it is that RC doesn't have a lot of on-the-nose accessory pieces. She's got her pistols. She's got the key to the plasma energy chamber. Maybe swords. That's not a very G1 thing, but it's kind of been a typical RC thing since
animated. I hope she
doesn't
have swords.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking of things they could use. I mentioned this on Twitter. is that, like with Hound, Hound's got a whole lot of accessories, but the canvas top he used in one episode of Atlantis, Arise Atlantis, that he used it one time in that one episode, and they included his accessory. It's like they're trying to find things to fill out the accessory count to justify the price.
RC has one accessory that they really should include to make you happy.
Yes. The thing of it is, though, I don't know if they're going to include a Headmaster Daniel with this.
MP50.
Because I'm not sure plus. If they can make a figure small enough.
They can.
That would fit this current design.
They can.
RC and Robot Mode.
They absolutely can.
Yeah. But like you said, I'm just wondering if that's going to be the MP50 plus. And 51 plus. I mean, again, she also doesn't have a lot of repaints. You've got Paradron Medic.
Actually, there's a lot of repaints of her that you can do.
Well, I mean, excuse me for a second. What are you doing? Stop that.
Massey's going to attack during the RC Masterpiece conversation.
No, you can't tear that up.
Yeah, I mean, Paradron Medic seems like a given.
Yeah, but and unless IDWRC, which I know is not the same design, I know that. Unless her coloring is different, and I don't think you could get any more animation accurate than what we're seeing right here.
John is suggesting Masterpiece Nightbird. Now, the best version of Nightbird was a retool of RC.
Yes. And I was talking this with some other people earlier this week. Paradron Medic and Nightbird seem like the two most things that they could do with this mold. I do hope they do Headmaster.
Wait, Don. Who are you telling? Don. Who are you telling this to?
I was on TFYLP on Monday.
Wait! You shared your thoughts on Masterpiece RC with some other podcast first.
Well, they needed a fourth, and I was free that night.
Don, I am so disappointed. I'm not even joking.
Don, this is grounds for termination.
I am genuinely upset about this.
I wasn't expecting. I honestly was not expecting to be on the show, but they needed a fourth, and I just happened to be free.
Don, I don't think we'll need a fourth next week. So if you want to, Don.
Yes.
No, Don. I don't like it. Nope.
I'm sorry. It just popped up first. I wasn't expecting it.
I know what RC needs. She needs a push-up bra. Masterpiece.
Okay, Masterpiece, I changed my mind. RC. We'll keep Don and we'll terminate diecast.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
This is Masterpiece 90 RC.
Yeah, God. Would diecast be a better fit? Is that the kind of jokes they make?
No one makes jokes that bad.
Okay.
That one piece, if it is mistransformed, I mean, there's a lot of evidence floating around that it's not mistransformed.
Yeah, I actually don't think it is.
Yeah, there's no way it is. No.
Yeah,
it's bad. It's just not good.
My idea, my idea of other Transformers podcasts are like four diecasts making that joke to each other for like an hour and a half. That's kind of how I think other Transformers podcasts sound.
Now, it's possible maybe the head and the neck are pulled up too far, or they can be lowered some. Maybe the chest can be adjusted a little bit to a degree. I don't know. I'm not the toy detective that Chris and Rob are.
I'm hoping they're going to modify it, because there's things off like that
they're
really
not.
Bother me. The vehicle mode, I absolutely agree with Don. It's the best RC vehicle mode we've seen from anyone. The face is a little bit too pointy at the chin, and the eyes look a little bit too big. And looking at the head, the way there's a split in the head, I'm pretty sure she's going to have pink visors. I mean, we haven't seen photos of that, but I can't imagine them not putting that in.
Hot Rod did, and that's such a simple thing to do.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and there's just, like I said, she does not have that many accessories she can come with, so I'm not sure what else they can add to, because it seems like they're making a price that they can make a profit at,
Oh, and yeah, we should mention that. So RT is currently set at 14,000 yen.
Which is about 135 US, I believe, is what they were saying.
About $40 more than some of the other toys at the same.
That's about what Hound cost.
Yeah, but
yeah, Hound was more than that, right?
Yeah. But again, we need to see what she comes with as accessories to see, like I said, you know, it's like they're picking a price and then making accessories to justify the price. That's the way that I'm seeing it. So if she's going to be same price as Hound, we need to see the accessories she comes with. Otherwise, what you're getting is not going to be the value that Hound was, just looking at what you get for the same dollar.
Hey, Don. Don, which podcast did you say you were on again?
I was on TFYLP on Monday.
Oh, I thought you said something else. Okay. Do I need to write Duron, like a politely worded letter?
Yeah, take 10 Duron, minutes.
Yeah, Duron is, he is no longer on the show. He has moved on to other things.
Oh. Who do I need to write a politely worded letter to?
Don.
Don's
the new owner of TFYLP.
Oh.
No. No, it's just like, it was just, they needed a fourth and I was available.
My heart's broken,
what we've seen so far is RC has the pistol, the car mode spike thing from the movie that she was on Junk.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to come with a stand.
Yeah. So, again, I want to see the accessories. I want to see everything. I say, if there is no headmaster, I assume there'll be a Daniel of if there's no headmaster.
Yeah,
a driver. Yeah. You know, I can see that. But I'm definitely getting her, obviously. This is a great looking car mode, a good looking robot mode. I'm just looking forward to getting it. Surprisingly, I'm also looking just as much forward to get MP50. That was also announced.
Which was also
No, that's all right. I didn't have anything to say. You can just move on. I'm just sitting here quietly waiting for my turn for nothing, I guess. Yeah.
No. No. You go ahead, man. I'm just, you know, giving a little bit of mystery to everything.
Yeah, so let me tell you.
Are you sure? May I speak?
You may speak. Yes, please. Okay. Please speak and say words.
Okay, so I have some misgivings about MP RC. Basically, she has very, very, very tiny, tiny feet and a fairly sizable backpack, which just, like, making that thing stand on its own is probably going to be kind of a nightmare. And again, with RC, we're kind of seeing that weird over-sexualization thing where they've rounded off her midsection and thighs, which is not animation accurate, which is supposedly what, you know, Takara is supposed to be focusing in on. And like, I just wish we could move past that.
And that also seems to be at the root of why the chest looks wrong, because basically
they've added some ever so slight roundness to the.
Well, yeah. So like everything I think is actually in the correct place relative to the character model. The problem is in the animation model, the transition from the shoulders to the breastplate is one smooth slope, but on this, it goes basically straight down from the shoulders and then out. So, like, they're accentuating the shape of the breastplate without actually changing the overall shape any more than they can help. It's the exact same thing that happened with the Generations toy. And in a lot of ways, this looks like the Generations toy made bigger, which is not necessarily a good thing.
And also, one more thing that really has me worried, Brickinator on Twitter actually pointed this out. Just think of the third-party upgrade options for this.
Oh, I've been trying not to.
Yeah.
But I think you've made a good point about the small feet, because the product flyer Takara Tomy was handing out at Wonderfest, we saw a picture of the RC from that, and in that stock photo in that, RC is attached to a stand in robot mode.
Which, quite frankly, kind of, you know, with the proportions of this thing, might be necessary.
Yeah, that's why I definitely think that's going to be one of the things included with it. And, like, besides that, there may not be a lot of accessories, but I think the price that this is at, which honestly is on the low end for Masterpiece these days, sadly enough, but most of that is going to be just the engineering that needed to transform that very nice RC car mode into the robot that we're seeing. Because that's almost Beast Wars level magic.
Yeah. I actually, shoot, let's go ahead and talk about the other masterpiece. MP50, not RC. Tigatron looks so good.
It does.
Yeah, so Wonderfest, we kind of went into with some expectations of what would be revealed. And all the things we expected to be revealed weren't. And instead, we got these things that we never expected to have be revealed.
It's so good.
Okay, I don't need a turn to talk about this one because I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
So,
Matt, I mean, I know you don't like Beast Wars.
Yeah, let's actually just talk about Don. If you're not going to talk about the toy, let's move on. Let's talk about the toy.
I am.
Okay. Talk.
Oh, okay. I love it. I love Tigatron is probably my favorite Beast Wars character. I think he looks great. I'm not surprised that he's coming out before RC because they've already had the transformation skeleton down pat from Cheetor as far as figuring out how it's going to transform. Yeah, there's some bulk differences and everything else, but
did they literally just scale it up?
For the most part, it probably is, you know, taking this CAD model and saying, you know, 20% bigger. But there are some engineering changes. Like Cheetor has a fake cat head on the robot chest. Tigatron seems to use the actual beast mode tiger head on the robot chest.
So amazing.
And there's also some more moving parts, some level of complexity more in the front cheetah legs, which you can see on the back in the robot mode there. There's more joints visible on the display sample there. So something different is going on that way. But like the fundamental skeleton underlying it all is going to be the same thing as Cheetor. And because of, you know, CAD models and computerized milling for the toolings, yeah, they can basically just upscale it and have it work.
Yeah. And I love that. It looks like they looked at the Telemoca version to give that more of that metallic green. Mm-hmm. You know, they sort of like use the Telemoca coloring on that one, which I think looks really good.
I love this toy so much.
Yeah, I'm glad now I skipped Dinobot and Megatron just from a cost standpoint.
No, you need them with this.
Well, you know, it's just with the cost of them. I think if I'm gonna be dipping back into Beast Wars masterpieces, it's going to be for characters I want, like Tigatron and hopefully a Silverbolt at some point. But
you're almost certainly not getting a Masterpiece Silverbolt, Don.
Hey, it took me 30 years to get Masterpiece RC, so I mean...
Okay,
you know,
we will come back in 30 years and see if you got your wish a second time. But
we don't have to come back. We'll still be doing the show by then.
Don. So what did you tell your other podcast about this? Don in our internal chat is like, I'm sorry, Brian, if you're really upset. I'm not, Don. I'm joking.
I know.
I'm working a bit.
Yeah, I'm thinking about some other things he could come with. One way out of the box thing is that he come in the box, there will be a PVC, like a snowstalker, the tigress that he inadvertently killed in one of his early episodes.
Okay,
when he blew up the mountain.
If I'm understanding correctly, you're suggesting that as an accessory, Masterpiece Tigatron come with a solid, unposable plastic tiger that's exactly as big as Tigatron is.
I don't know. I said it was kind of out of the box thinking, but you know, or it could be a model kit. They do wonderful things with model kits now. So it could be like what you and Matt collect, the Super Sentai model kits.
I saw someone on Twitter on Sunday morning suggest that instead of that, Tigatron could come with a pile of rocks to be the grave for Snowstalker after she's killed.
Oh my god!
And that seems more plausible than including a PVC or model kit of Snowstalker that'd be just as big as Tigatron.
See, I can't even call Don's guesses implausible anymore, because a couple of weeks ago, whenever we did our prediction show and Don called out Masterpiece RC, we all wanted to shoot him down.
I know. Don nailed it.
Don, did you have inside information on that?
Don, just a broken clock.
No, it's not that.
No, it's just, I'm just saying, if the numbering means anything to Takara anymore...
Which outside it doesn't.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that that's what that was my original thought. But I mean, again, this does sort of fall into my theory of that they're using models that they've either got engineering already, because they've already done Cheetor and they've done Shadow Panther. So they've already gotten two basic uses of the mold, and there wasn't that much remolding on Shadow Panther. There was a few extra accessories, but that was it. So having a Tigertron come out is more money with less production costs, having already recouped a lot of it probably from the first two. And so basically Tigertron is paying for RC because there's not as many repaint potentials or reuses of that mold. Because I can't see them doing many other female Autobots that look like RC, but like Firestar and the rest of the ones, the other female Autobots, I can't see them using this RC for her. They're too far off model in a line that's very G1 accurate.
Yeah.
So yes, I agree that they would not use RC to make Firestar out of directly. They would not recolor RC as Firestar.
No.
Right. I just, as a lot of people, you know, are pointing out, like, we thought we'd get more, you know, the season one cast before we got someone from season three. I mean, because you're still missing Trailbreaker, Hoist, you're still missing Jazz, you're still missing Cliff Jumper, which we thought we were going to get off that Bumblebee move.
Those are all ones they would have to license, and RC is not one that they have to license.
And need to license it from Dawn.
Yeah.
Plus, if she's a headmaster.
Yeah. Plus also the fact that the last movie masterpiece we got was Hot Rod, and there are a lot of people that have these movie masterpiece shelves that they want to complete, so doing another figure.
There's a lot to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's still, yeah, I mean,
like even the Wonderfest display, they had to put in Generations molds to fill out their core movie cast because there's only masterpieces for a few of them.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, I don't see them tackling Springer anytime soon. Yeah, unless.
Which is a shame.
But I mean, look at how much he would probably be Dinobot or Megatron price.
Being a triple changer. Blow up the Siege Springer and, you know, make it out of a little more sturdy materials, and I'd be happy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can see them doing more movie characters, because other than Cup and Blur, the rest of the movie characters are kind of going to be either be Decepticons, which, you know, bad guys don't sell in Japan.
Oh, you've always got Redgar.
And there's Redgar. So, but I'm
really, everybody's clamoring for that.
I was really hoping that would be MP50.
Masterpiece Sharkticon.
So I'm
broke.
Super, I would.
So I am really ecstatic for RC. I'm equally ecstatic for Tigertron.
Are you ecstatic for Tigertron knowing that it's over 20,000 yen?
Since I didn't get Megatron and Dinobot, I think I can justify Tigertron because I'm not going all in on the Beast Wars line. I'm just cherry picking the ones I want. And Tigertron is worth the money. Yeah. I really am forward to getting him on the shelf.
So, something else that we've been wanting that's coming out slowly, but it wasn't coming out at all before, Transformers the Manga in trade paperback form. Volume 3 has been announced and it's due out in October.
Volume 1 comes out next month.
Yep. I'm excited. God, I am excited about this. I don't think I've been this excited about something like this. It's been years, because this is stuff I've wanted to read for years.
I pre-ordered it right before the show, as soon as I saw the news.
Yeah. I pre-ordered it, I think, as soon as this 3 went up. I pre-ordered it 2 days ago, yeah. This is like Christmas for me. I'm super stoked. I hope they run through everything. But yeah, so...
Well, they're certainly making a good step at it. You know, the third volume's already announced, so they'll probably run through everything that's available.
And this is what? Still Super Robot Form?
This is Victory Zone.
This is Victory and Zone. Oh, okay. So they're...
And Battlestars.
Is there anything left? Operation Combination? Is that it?
I don't know. Check the wiki.
I don't know of anything after Battlestars, specifically.
Well, and a lot of that late run stuff, too, like, it comes down to story pages. Like, I think all of Return Convoy is in magazine story pages, not an actual manga. And hopefully that material is collected and translated because, again, that's like the story of Return of Convoy.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
If I don't get Operation Combination, I'm going to be so disappointed.
Yeah. Sweet. That's awesome. Let's see here. Okay, so one thing, Chris, in your monologue, it was not a monologue, but in your conversation of Earthrise.
My lecture?
Your Earthrise lecture, did you talk about the maps?
No, I didn't, but they're there.
So
they all come, well, like everything deluxe and up comes with one of these little decoder strip things. I have multiples of them now. So on the inside trays for the deluxes, Voyagers, and Leaders, there's chunks of a space map. On the MicroMasters, it is just printed on the card back. So if you want to preserve that, be careful how you take the bubble off so you don't like tear across that. Every toy comes with a unique piece of map, which unfortunately means that you would need to rebuy Astro Train if you got the Siege one and you want to have, like, physically a complete space map when this is all over with.
I'm just glad the wiki exists for things like this.
Well, yeah, that'll help too.
Yeah, I don't need it, yeah, but I love that it exists.
I throw my packaging away, yeah, these days.
The other thing too is, like, I cannot imagine there will not be released somehow at some point a complete Earthrise space map, like officially, where you won't need to have all the little pieces from the packaging. There will just be like a nice poster sized one that Hasbro gives out somehow.
That could be included with Scorponok when he comes out. He will be out later on this year.
I could see that, like, actually.
So,
but the back and the instructions are the space map.
So real quick, just want to jump back to the last story. I was looking at the chat and Blade Raider said that this is marketed as the final volume.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So hopefully that does get Operation Combination and everything in there.
It says victory through zone all the way to the endpoint of Japanese G1 Battle Stars. So I guess that was...
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay, sorry. But yeah, so Chris, did any of the toys you buy, I guess some of them had the decoder... slip with them or...
Okay. Now, who can help Brian out here and repeat what the first thing I said was when Brian asked me about my Earthrise lecture?
Oh. I don't remember. I wasn't taking notes.
Yes, no, I have several of these red decoder strips because every deluxe Voyager and Leader comes with one.
Did Ironworks come with one? He doesn't...
Yeah, should have done.
I bought two and I don't remember seeing them.
Well, they're taped to the inside of the tray.
Well, near poop. Bottom. I'm going to dig through the trash.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got at least 7 of them. So it's not like you'll be wanting for a decoder strip by the time this is over.
Okay. That's good
to know. You can read the red text on the map pieces even without it. It just makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah. It's just like the text specs.
Yeah.
Okay. I need more caffeine.
Evidently.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just need to stop answering your questions when you're obviously like looking at the chat or writing a letter to TFYLP or something.
Yeah, well, I thought Don said it was another podcast. I'm good. I'm good with those
when
guys.
When you're like off getting in contact with your lawyers to send TFYLP a cease and desist.
No. But you know, Duron was the one.
I guess you could send Don a cease and desist.
Yeah, it would be Don. Duron was the one who reached out and said, "Hey, do you mind if Don's on the podcast? If he's gone." That's null and void. That doesn't count anymore. So
the contract does not survive death.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to reach out to whoever is, piloting that ship now. And
I'm telling you, it's Don, and he just doesn't want to say it. He's the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm running TFYLP from my setup. Yeah,
Don, I ran this from my setup, in the 1990s, which is actually more primitive than what you have.
Yes, his internet was reliant on a blade of grass.
Yep.
Yes, but you knew what you know what you're doing. I don't.
Don, all you have to do is delegate. Doesn't mean you have to, you know.
Don, right. did you ever listen to early RFC? I really question whether Brian knew what he was doing.
No, that's what made it so fun. We had no idea what we were doing.
Massey is more qualified to run a podcast than I am.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's see here. Hey, patreon.com/TF Radio. It'd be awesome if you helped out. It really would. But what's really awesome are our touched patrons, Kevin Dorsey, Sean Bratton, Jacob Owen Lucia, Sean Hamilton, Jason W. Rye, Mike Mallory, Jason Hiley, Jonathan James, Matthew Dedman, Hector Bones, Brian Cooper, and Nathan. Nathan only gets the first name, so I'm assuming Nathan's last name, if he has one, is something cool like Nathan Esquire or Nathan Powers. Nathan Powers. Yeah.
Oh, that's like kind of derivative. We already know someone named Powers.
Yeah. Actually, Rob Powers does have pretty much the coolest name of anybody ever, other than Hector Bones. Hector Bones has coolest name.
I mean, I always thought Kevin Owl was kind of cool.
Yeah, but I like Megatron 33. I still think of him as Megatron 33 and not as, yeah.
I mean, that's to be expected.
Yeah, but our patrons are awesome. They make everything happen. Patreon.com/TFRadio, and you can also find those guys at the credits page, which I believe is tfradio.net/credits. If you want to be a patron, you can join, again, patreon.com/TFRadio. You can find us on the Twitters at TF Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. We're on Instagram at TF Podcast. We're on YouTube. We have Roku TV channel, Fire TV, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, literally everywhere. We're even at Don's apartment when Don's not on TFYLP or some other podcast, like sharing his RC love to the world for the first time with somebody else.
Even though he predicted it here.
He predicted it here. And he's
far as we know, he predicted it here. We don't actually know for sure that he didn't predict it on TFYLP like 3 days earlier.
Oh, Don. Don, how do people find TFYLP?
Apparently wherever I'm at, I guess. I don't know how that really works.
What is it? TFTalk.net? Isn't that like the URL? If I remember,
TFTalk.net.
I like that URL.
But money was the first time I was on in about 3.5-4 months, just due to scheduling conflicts.
Yeah, I like that domain. I always have. Mm. Yeah, Don, how do people get a hold of you? Besides TFYLP,
run a joke into the ground. I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR.
Sweet.
Which now if she does come as a headmaster, I might have to change my handle because I'll have got the figure that I've been wanting for so long.
To TFYLP for EVR.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm going to take a collection to send Matt a Beast Wars Tigatron. So, you know, everyone just contact me and send me some money. I'll get him a Tigatron so he can have a nice Beast Wars figure on the shelf.
You just burn that like I burned Kronos.
Well, you don't like
before
good
it ever
figures
came
either.
Out of the package.
I have a very good Skyfire.
Actually, you've got at least two.
You got like
now.
Seven.
Yeah, I do. It's true.
John, how do people get a hold of you? If he's there, he's not there. At that John D everywhere. Yes. Yes. Chris.
You can find my photography work at playwithphotography.com or on social media at instagram.com/playwithphotography or at playwithphotos on Twitter. I actually posted some photos on my social media for the first time in a little while because I was messing with the Earthrise stuff. So
great.
You can go find a couple pictures of Starscream and a Cliffjumper. Those are out there right now. If you like the work I do and want to help me to be able to do more of it, you can contribute to Patreon for as little as $2 per month at patreon.com/playwithphotos. Contributions from my generous patrons helped to make this big glut of Earthrise stuff possible this week. So thank you all very much for that. And I will be working on content based on that as soon as I can. You can follow me personally on Twitter at ChrisRTXV. I've got nothing really going on right now. I might revive the sales list again some point soon to help offset my tax debt because it's getting to be about that time, and every little bit extra going toward that helps for sure. Otherwise, though, I have my Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/chrislist. If you'd like to do something nice for me and also give a little bit back to the show here to offset Brian's show-related tax debt.
Yes.
Because it's getting to be about that time, and every little bit helps.
I'm certain Don is using the TFYLP Amazon link, though. Yes. Mm. That's what Don's doing.
Yeah, he uses theirs first, and then, a couple days later, he remembers, oh, yeah, we have one of those, too.
Yeah. Diecast, how are people going to hold you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2, And that's, you can also follow me on Facebook or like my page on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast.
Don just said, I hate you all. We love you, Don.
That means it's been a good week.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. You can check us out, tfradio.net, and you can check out TFYLP at tftalk.net.
Also, where do we find Rob when he's, you know, usually here?
I don't know. Rob Flails on Twitter.
On Twitter at Rob Flails. And also, patreon.com/flailthroughs.
Flailthroughs. And he's on YouTube at Flailthroughs.
Where he plays Gundam Battle Operation. And if you give at least $2 to his Patreon, you can request customized mobile suits for him to do rounds with.
And he doesn't speak Japanese, but he plays games in Japanese.
Yeah, that's the whole gimmick, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Rob Springer.
Of course, now Gundam Battle Operation 2 is available, you know, officially in English, so that doesn't even really apply anymore.
Yep. And you can find Rob Springer at zonebase.org and at RoboRobSpringer on Twitter. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?